This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wang Xiaoning. It is 7:07 in the morning, Tuesday, the 20th of August, and global markets closed on an optimistic note yesterday. US stocks rallied, lifted by encouraging comments from President Donald Trump and other officials on the trade talks.
That's right. Donald Trump has given Huawei another 90 days of grace. No sanctions there for 90 days. And the Dow, as a result, is up 1%, S&P 500 1.2%, and NASDAQ up almost 1.5%.
Meanwhile, in Asia, investors took heart from the PBOC's move to reform interest rates to make borrowing cheaper for companies there. Nikkei was up 0.7, Hang Seng up 2.2, Shanghai up 2.1. Straits Times Singapore was up 0.4, but our KLCI was the outlier, falling below the magical 600-point mark yesterday, which closed down 0.2. Once again, we seem to be one of the most unloved markets in Asia.
No, la, we're too cool. Everyone goes green. We're like, no, don't want to follow the crowd.
Exactly.
But to give us some insight into global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist with the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Thank you for joining us, Joe. Good morning. Global stocks rallied at the start of the week on better U.S.-China trade news, with investors also anticipating a fresh wave of stimulus measures since the White House says it's considering a new round of tax cuts to help bolster the economy. Is this good news for you or cause for concern?
Well, it's better than what we've been accustomed to, the threat of tariffs and trade wars. And I also think, you know, what you just said, you know, the expectation of more central bank easing and fiscal stimulus. The news out of Germany is sinking in recession. They're finally waking up to this fact. And there's talk of now of even a fiscal stimulus coming out of Europe. So if we get a fiscal stimulus out of the United States, China, and the European Union, I think that's what's going to give some buoyancy to the markets here in the near term.
And Joe, the U.S. central bankers are also meeting in Jackson Hole for the central bank symposium this week. Do you think that they will signal an interest rate cut very strongly, especially on the back of the rate inversion for the first time since 2007?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope Chairman Powell's not so tone deaf to the markets, realizing the inverted curve or the flat yield curve, and the need for the Fed to move faster, quicker, deeper, perhaps, you know, maybe 50 basis point cut in September. So, you know, there's just markets, you know, whatever we gain today, we'll lose tomorrow if the Fed is just out of sync and not realizing that inflation has rolled over, the risk of a recession are rising, and they've got to be more proactive. So if you don't get a more proactive stance from the Fed at the end of the week, we're going to end the week in the red, not the green.
And Joe, safe haven assets have started to come down, right, with gold heading back below 1,500. Considering there's still a lot of volatility in global markets, is this dip a buying opportunity for you?
In terms of, you know, we're looking, if you're patient, I mean, if you're an investor, not a trader, of course, if you're a trader, you're looking day to day. But some of the cyclicals, you know, the industrials, aerospace, they're say financials, some of these sectors look very attractive here. Conversely, some of the more defensive sectors, utilities, REITs, gold, you know, kind of the more defensive plays have look a little bit stretched here, even bonds, obviously, of course. So, you know, if I'm an investor, I'm out shopping for some good companies here. Healthcare, I think, has a ways to run as well. So there's some buying opportunities here, but it's more about investing, not trading, longer term, not short term.
And Joe, with some recent protests in Hong Kong affecting businesses and signs of a slowing economy in China, are you looking again at your asset allocation in that region?
In general, yes. I mean, we're very cognizant of the emerging markets. It's done well up until recently. But we're still looking for the consumer and technology plays in Asia. You know, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia being part of that. But really, until we get some trade resolution between the United States and China, right? We have nothing. We don't even have a truce, let alone a deal. We just got some good headlines. And then we need more fiscal stimulus out of China as well. So I think these markets, more volatility, some downside. I think a lot of bad news has been priced in. But if no one has exposure to Asia Pacific, ASEAN countries, including Malaysia, now's the time to get it. You don't want to buy at a 52-week high. You want to buy when things are down and then volatile.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe. And that was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Somewhat optimistic on Malaysia there.
Yeah, it'd be good news for people who want to withdraw from their EPF account. One, given that EPF has now reduced the setup and online platform. But, you know, I think that what was very important that he said that the Fed in the Jackson Hole meeting this week has mm-hmm. to signal very strongly. Otherwise, the market would end up in tears this week if the Fed doesn't signal strongly for further cuts and further and more aggressive rate cuts.
Yeah, it looks like the markets are expecting at least 50 bips in September, right? Not a 25 bips. Mm-hmm. I think because the US data may be okay, but the rest of the world's data seems to be very, very soft. And I think they need to be, as he says, they need to be more proactive. Otherwise, the market's going to end in tears by the end of the week.
Yeah, I think, and Joe also made an interesting comment about some of the defensive sectors like the havens, like bonds. They're starting to look a little bit stretched, in his opinion.
He did recommend tech plays in KL. And we do have some of these semiconductor, I think he refers to the semiconductor names that are listed. So the likes of MPI, Unisem, Globtronics, Inari's, those names, I think.
But speaking of tech as well, over in the US, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has said that the US will extend a reprieve on Huawei sanctions for another 90 days. Now, if we remember, the Trump administration blacklisted Huawei in May, but allowed exemptions for some U.S. companies doing businesses with Huawei for a period of 3 months.
Yeah, I think also Apple highlighted that they're going to lose out to Samsung in this trade war. I don't know whether that would actually cause Donald Trump to capitulate on some of his stronger stances with the trade war, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that will change his mind, because Apple, you know, one of the biggest companies in the U.S.,
for me, if you want to know whether he changes his stance, just watch the Dow or the S&P 500. If it continues to fall over a few days, suddenly you will see him tweet out a very different message, okay?
This sounds like insider trading.
Just watch the Dow and the S&P, and then you can pretty much gauge what will be Trump's policy for that week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's a correlation there, maybe it's correlation, not causation. One never knows. We also have some news out of Facebook and Twitter, because over in Hong Kong, Facebook and Twitter are cracking down on accounts believed to be used to spread disinformation by pro-Chinese government actors. Now, Twitter said in a blog post that it had discovered 936 accounts originating from mainland China that were deliberately and specifically attempting to sow political discord in Hong Kong.
That's right. Twitter has said that they have reliable evidence and it was coordinated. And subsequently, Twitter said that it would no longer accept advertising from state-controlled news media entities. Wow. Imagine that, rejecting advertising money, right? Mm. All in the name of a good cause. Yes.
Yeah, I think
I say that with cynicism.
Well, I think social media companies are waking up to the fact that their platforms do have a lot of reach, and these platforms are being misused, because this kind of influence of political discourse, it almost, as Twitter says, undermining some of the legitimacy of governments. That's not what most of these platforms were originally built for. They're just there to promote communities and to promote communication between friends and friends of friends, but it's this kind of politicized element to it. I don't think many of them are down for that.
No, I mean, this happened during the US elections, mm-hmm. right, where these two platforms were used to spread almost like
fake news,
right, in a way.
From Cambridge Analytica, that the whole scandal. I just finished watching The Great Hack on Netflix, not to do any free advertising, but, you know, it's very targeted. Facebook had denied it at first, and then when the evidence mounted, they were forced to admit to the platform being manipulated just to change election results, like how Donald Trump got elected in the US, as well as how the Brexit referendum changed direction to a yes.
Absolutely. But even closer to home, though, Thailand's economy has grown at its slowest rate in nearly 5 years in the second quarter. According to official sources, GDP grew 2.3% in April to June compared with the same period in 2018, but contracted from the first quarter of this year when it grew 2.9%. And the Thai government blamed flagging domestic demand and weakening export for the slowdown.
Yes, the Thai baht actually has been one of the Asia's strongest performing currencies this year. But ironically, that will hurt competitiveness of Thai exports and its key tourism sector, which generates more than one-fifth of GDP.
And not forgetting its farming sector as well, is at the moment right in the grip of a drought. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.